A Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something that honestly feels less like just another book and more like, well, essential reading for navigating what's coming. We're diving into Mustafa Suleiman's really important work, The Coming Wave, AI, Biology, and Containment.
Yeah, and if you've got that sort of background hum of anxiety about technology's direction, this book kind of validates that feeling. Suleiman, who's about as inside as you can get, argues we're really at an existential inflection point. It's driven by this potent mix of artificial intelligence and synthetic biology, or synbio, as he calls it.
Synbio. Okay, let's just quickly clarify that. There's basically thinking of life cells, DNA, as something programmable, like software. Exactly. And when you combine that potential, the power to engineer life itself, with AI that can act on its own, maybe even improve itself. Mm-hmm. Well, you get a wave that's fundamentally different from the internet, different from mobile tech. So the book really hammers home this central, urgent question, the containment problem. How on earth do we control something so powerful, so unprecedented, and potentially autonomous?
Right.
That's really the mission for us today, I think. Understanding the stakes, and crucially, what can actually be done about it. What are the controls?
Okay, let's get into the author himself then, Mustafa Suleiman. When we talk AI futures, this isn't just some commentator. He actually built this stuff. Yeah. Co-founder of DeepMind, you know, the company behind AlphaGo that beat the world Go champion, and AlphaFold.
Mm-hmm. And his background is absolutely key to why his warnings land with such authority. He's basically sending us a message from the engine room. Take AlphaFold. It didn't just speed things up. It cracked this huge biological puzzle protein folding almost overnight.
Yeah.
That's someone who's seen firsthand how technology can just obliterate old timelines, years of work done in months.
Yeah, that perspective is so unique. He's got the deep technical know-how, the entrepreneurial pragmatism from building companies, but also this kind of deep sense of the human stakes. I think that comes from his earlier work in social activism, too.
Right.
He gets the power, but he also really understands the fragility it creates. He's kind of both the architect and maybe the most clear-eyed critic.
Yeah, unlike, you know, some technologists who maybe only see the upside, the utopia, mm-hmm. or critics who maybe lack the deep tech understanding, Suleiman brings both that technical grounding and a real grasp of systemic risk. He's seen how these complex systems can behave unexpectedly.
So what's the core message he wants us to get? He says the book is really about preparing everyone, not just the experts, policymakers, business leaders, citizens, all of us, for a future that's frankly arriving way faster than we think. And the whole book is trying to map out what he calls the narrow path. It's this tricky space between, like, being terrified and giving up and just blindly embracing everything without thinking.
And what's really striking is his core argument. Mm-hmm. This wave, it's inevitable. You just can't wish it away. Why? Because the incentives are just massive. Curing diseases, national security advantages, huge economic gains. Every country, every major company wants in.
So the pull is just too strong.
Overwhelming. But, and this is the crucial part, inevitable doesn't mean the outcome is set in stone, the trajectory. That's something we can and must influence.
Okay, so if the wave itself is unavoidable, the real challenge isn't stopping it. It's steering it, governing it. And that's where he delivers this pretty sharp critique, saying our existing ways of doing things, our institutions, regulations are, and I think he says, woefully inadequate. Why? What's the inadequacy?
Well, fundamentally, they're built for human speed, for deliberation, for political cycles to take years. They just can't keep pace with technologies that can make massive leaps in, like, months. The scope is just huge, too. It touches everything. LLMs, CRISPR, geopolitics, even the future of work and, you know, human purpose itself.
All right, the urgency is clear. Let's get more specific now. The nature of this wave. Suleiman uses this term, not multi-use, but omni-use. What's the distinction there?
Omni-use really means it's so foundational, so adaptable, that it just inevitably permeates everything, every sector. Economics, military, social life, you name it. Think electricity, maybe, or the internet, but way faster. And with the potential to act on its own, it just reshapes the entire landscape all at once.
And that reach, that omni-use nature, just throws gasoline on the fire of the containment problem we mentioned earlier. Because history isn't exactly encouraging, is it? Containment tends to fail. Competition, money. The tech gets out, it gets open sourced, it gets cheaper, easier to copy. I mean, we couldn't even fully contain nuclear tech, and that needed massive state infrastructure. AI can just be code.
Exactly. And that failure to contain gets supercharged by what he calls the four features that make this wave uniquely tricky to govern. We know, number one, it's general purpose, omni-use. But the next three are where it gets really challenging.
Okay, lay them out for us, two and three.
Number two, increasingly autonomous. These systems can operate, make decisions in complex environments, think financial trading or cyber defense, without a human directly in the loop for every action. Number three, they're self-improving. They can actually enhance their own abilities, learn, get better faster than humans can necessarily guide or even understand. That just accelerates everything.
Okay, so the fourth one, democratizing, that feels like the one that really shifts the ground beneath our feet, power-wise. It means the ability to cause massive disruption, maybe even state-level harm, isn't just for superpowers anymore. It could be a small group, maybe even one person.
Precisely. That's the asymmetric power problem. It used to take a nation-state to build, say, a weapon of mass destruction or control global information. Now, small groups, maybe even non-state actors, rogue elements, they could potentially deploy incredibly sophisticated destabilizing tools. Think AI-powered bioweapons or autonomous drone swarms.
Wow. Okay, and then there's this compounding effect he talks about, the convergence or the multiplication. It's not just AI and synbio existing side by side. They fuel each other.
Yeah, this is what really kicks things into exponential gear. AI makes bio research incredibly fast. Look at AlphaFold again, speeding up drug discovery. And maybe, down the line, biology itself offers new ways to compute beyond silicon. So you get these feedback loops where progress just spirals upwards, compressing timelines dramatically. Decades of work, maybe done in years. Policy just can't react that fast.
So when we look at the potential consequences,
yeah,
the book isn't just theoretical. It outlines some really concrete, frankly, terrifying risks, like the complete breakdown of shared reality, hyper-realistic deepfakes, AI propaganda tailored to individuals, destabilizing elections, trust, everything.
And the physical dangers are just as real. Beyond autonomous weapons, which is a huge issue in itself, there's the bio threat. AI makes designing and maybe even synthesizing dangerous pathogens, well, much easier. The barrier to entry for manipulating life itself is dropping fast. An engineered pandemic, maybe started by a small group, that risk is way higher now.
That's a species-level concern, not just economic disruption.
Absolutely. And all this is happening, Silliman argues, against the backdrop of the fragile state. He says this wave pours fuel on existing global problems, inequality, polarization, and fundamentally challenges the power of nation-states. If states lose their monopoly on large-scale force and can't control the information space, the whole international system gets very unstable.
So, okay, if the stakes are that high, species level, why does Suleiman seem pretty dismissive of the idea of just pausing a global moratorium on AI development?
He basically sees it as completely unrealistic, naive even, because of those incentives. We talked about national security, economic dominance. Which major power would actually trust the others to really stop? A pause would likely just drive the research underground, create a hidden arms race. The ones who comply lose out. The ones who cheat gain an even bigger advantage. You just can't enforce it globally.
So that brings us back to the narrow path. If you can't stop it and full control is impossible, what's left?
The goal shifts. The narrow path isn't some easy compromise. It's described as this really difficult, vigilant route. You have to keep innovating. We still want the benefits, the cures, but simultaneously build really strong guardrails. Multiple layers of defense, ways to slow down misuse, apply friction where you can. It's like trying to navigate a minefield at high speed. You need both acceleration and extreme caution.
Okay, that seems to connect directly to the big themes running through the book. The first one has to be this massive governance gap, right? Our systems just aren't keeping up.
Exactly. Our regulations, our international agreements, our democratic processes, they were designed for a world that moves much, much slower. When the tech landscape can shift fundamentally every year or two and policy takes a decade, you're always behind, always reacting. It's a huge vulnerability.
And then there's this idea of stewardship as a moral duty. He puts a lot of weight on the shoulders of the people actually building this tech, the engineers, the scientists.
He argues they have a unique responsibility to act almost like guardians, to prioritize safety right alongside capability. Build in checks. Think about misuse before deploying. Almost like a Hippocratic oath for tech developers.
Makes sense. And since the threats are borderless pandemics, AI arms races, global misinformation, the third big theme seems unavoidable. the imperative of global cooperation.
Yeah, national solutions just won't cut it. If one country develops dangerous AI or bio tools, everyone is at risk. So we desperately need new international frameworks, treaties, monitoring bodies, maybe something inspired by nuclear non-proliferation efforts, but adapted for tech that's much harder to track.
You can really feel his insider perspective and how he phrases things. Let's touch on a few key quotes or ideas that really capture his argument.
Okay, well, here's one that sums up the core challenge. Containment is the defining challenge of our age. It is the problem of how we limit the proliferation and potential for harm of technologies that are becoming ever more open, accessible, and autonomous. It frames the whole issue.
Yeah, stark. And then there's the call for that difficult middle ground. The narrow path requires us to be neither Luddites nor techno-optimists, but careful navigators of unprecedented complexity. No easy answers, basically. Be pragmatic, be careful.
And this one really drives home why it's so hard to stop. The incentives to press on are overwhelming. A powerful mix of national security fears, immense commercial opportunity, and the genuine prospect of historic scientific breakthroughs. This is why the wave is inevitable. We cannot wish it away. You have to deal with that reality.
Okay, let's pivot to practical applications. What does this mean for people in different roles? For technologists, for instance.
Well, beyond the general idea of stewardship, he talks about concrete steps, like vigorously red teaming systems, actively trying to break them, find flaws before they go live, and critically, funding safety research just as much as capability research. It needs to be built in, not an afterthought.
Right. And for governments, what's the actionable insight there?
The key idea seems to be focusing on choke points. Don't try to regulate every single algorithm or application, because it's impossible. Instead, focus on the critical inputs, the bottlenecks in the supply chain where you can apply friction. Think advanced semiconductor manufacturing, the really high-end chips, or the specialized machines needed for DNA synthesis.
Ah, so control the ingredients, not necessarily every dish cooked with them.
Kind of, yeah. Those bottlenecks are where leverage might actually exist to slow down proliferation, especially the most dangerous capabilities.
And for the rest of us, for citizens, what's the application?
It boils down to, I think, two things. One, developing much better technological literacy. We need to understand, at least broadly, what these systems can and can't do. And two, cultivating almost hypervigilant critical thinking. Because the threat of AI-generated disinformation, deepfakes, it's going to get intense.
Yeah, it's not just about spotting a badly photoshopped image anymore. It's about seeing a perfect video of a leader saying something terrifying and having, what, minutes? Seconds?
Right.
To figure out if it's real before chaos erupts?
Exactly. Our ability to discern reality is becoming like a critical personal and national security skill.
So wrapping up, what's the single biggest lesson you took away?
For me, it's reinforcing that idea. Technological inevitability doesn't equal technological determinism. Yes, the wave is coming, we can't stop it, but its shape, its impact, its consequences, those aren't predetermined. We do have agency, but we need to shift gears massively from slow, reactive governance to something much more proactive, much more urgent. That window for shaping the wave, it's closing fast.
Yeah. For me, the thing that really hit home, the takeaway I keep thinking about, is just the sheer scale of the stakes. The urgency. Suleiman makes it incredibly clear that the decisions we're making right now, like in the next few years, they could genuinely determine whether this whole technological explosion leads to humanity's greatest chapter curing disease, ending poverty, or, well, if we mess up the containment part, its final chapter. It's that stark. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.